Hey everyone, and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games. My name is Richie, with me is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will now say hello, explain why he wants us to be called DS this season. I saved it. And tell you where to find us on the internet.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to That Guy's a Maniac DS. This is our fourth season, and our gimmick for the fourth season, in appreciation of the Nintendo DS, is we split our podcast into two halves. We have a D half, and we have an S half. More on that anon. You can find our That Guy's a Maniac content. There are actual blog posts. Very rarely, once a year, it happens. Listeners to the blog. So go and check us out at www.thatguys.co.uk, and you can find us on all the socials at That Guy's Maniac. Richie, how's that punch rated?
It is all one word, and it's all lowercase.
It's all lowercase. For That Guy's Maniac DS, the season, the podcast, the myth, the legend. At the beginning of the season, we created a bag of D's, some random D words, and a bag of S with some random S words. First half of the podcast is D-themed. The second half of the podcast is S-themed. We pick a D, we pick an S, we talk about it. There's a break in the middle with some questions. It all makes sense. But if you've been following this season, you know the drill. So, Richie, without further ado, what are we talking about on today's podcast? Please pick a D from the big bag ODs.
Okay, rummaging in the big bag of Ds. And, I feel quite a lot of Ds in here. I'm just going to grab this one. It's not a D, Farley.
What?
It says jewels.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have to...
You know, like the plural of diamonds, jewels.
We're going to have to apply to Ofcom or something.
Yeah, definitely.
There's been tampering. I knew those open sacks which had organs and Santa stuff in were not properly secured.
Yep.
Well, let's hope.
Somebody's getting fired.
Yeah. Good Kenneth is getting fired. Rummaging in the bag of S's. Oh no.
What's that?
What do I have? Oh, I don't have a S either.
Oh my god. What have you got?
I've got the word queen.
Right. What are we going to do?
Well, what are those words? Do you remember those Sesame Street, like that two-headed monster which would put the words together?
Yeah.
Fucking love that skit.
Or you could think of the Pineapple Man as well, doing his wee dance.
Yeah. So we've got, let's do the Sesame Street thing. Jules.
Okay. Queen.
Jules.
Queen.
Jules.
Queen. Jules Queen!
Jules Queen!
Jules Queen! Oh my god! Oh my god, it's come out like Jules Screen, like the DS!
Like the DS, wow.
Wow. So maybe we should make this episode all about our memories of the actual DS.
Man, let's have a console themed episode!
For regular readers of the podcast, you'll know that we every season have done some kind of nod to a game system that we have got memories about, and we talk about them. I think we had the Amiga, we had Mega Drive, Genesis memories, and other such consoles.
We had four. What was the other one?
We doubled up on one of the seasons. Remember, first season was something like 50 episodes.
So Richie, let's talk about the Nintendo DS.
Sure.
Arguably the last of the great handhelds.
Actually, great true handhelds.
Yeah.
Sorry, in typical Richie style, to sort of ruin some fun, we need to set some ground rules.
What is a Nintendo DS? Go on.
So today we will be talking about the DS and DSi, but we shall not be talking about the 3DS.
No.
That's for another podcast. Another podcast. Yeah.
We'll be talking about the DS eShop
whatever it's called.
Yeah, was that on the DSi?
DSware.
Is that what it was called?
Was that on the DS?
DSware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just wondering if that was a 3DS thing, because I remember...
You got the eShop, but then there was DSiWare.
DSiWare, yeah.
Which I guess we can talk about. I mean, there's only a few DSiWare
games. Not that I did anything, I think, with that. Okay.
Yeah, right. So that's what we're talking about. It came out. It had two screens, and it took the world by storm, I think. It had a couple of iterations. So the original chunky DS, one of the ones that I had, it has almost like a pyramid.
Yeah, you had the big fat DS, and I had the DS Lite, is that what they're called?
Yes, very quickly the DS Lite came out afterwards.
Yeah, very, very quickly, yeah.
Those two first models of DSs had a GBA slot.
Yep.
Two screens. Do you remember the thumb strap?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So one of the gimmicks of the DS was, Nintendo kind of carried this on with the Wii as well. It wasn't just, a successor to the GBA. It had a touchscreen. It had a microphone. It had... did the first one have gyroscope?
I don't think it had gyroscope, but the bottom touchscreen was like awful touchscreen as well. It was like, it's not like touchscreen that you have on your phones where it sort of, it can sense where your finger is. You had to press this down. You had to press through the plastic of the screen, worried that you might break it because you were just pressuring against these spots. The bottom touchscreen was awful. But it very, very weirdly, it also had a stylus as well. Yeah. And where the stylus fit in, it had a little ducket where you could place it. I still instinctively pull that out depending on the device that I'm using. Uh-huh. So if I'm using my phone and playing a game on its side or something like that, I'll still sometimes think to pull the stylus out and my finger will do that motion and it's not there. And even like on there was a little while where I used to chew my stylus an awful lot whilst was thinking.
All of them got chewed, yeah.
Yeah. And on the days where it was like, oh shit, I've chewed this one too much, I'll have to throw it away and I'll, buy another one on Amazon or whatever like that, Yeah. On that little period where you were waiting for it, you felt you were missing a limb. Just trying to get that little flick to get the stylus out and use it on the DS. But yeah.
I used to have, because there were loads of different styluses, official and otherwise. And I kind of, so I had some, the DSi, or DSXL? DSiXL? Christ. I had a lot of models of that console.
Yeah, it does.
I had this big, chunky, pen-like stylus. But if things got serious, it's kind of like, samurai anime and movies.
Yeah.
When things get serious, he draws the short sword. So if things are getting really serious, I would, kind of draw the stylus from out from underneath the the chunky DS, because the big pen was too casual.
Yeah.
And then, for the first model, and you can look up old previews and adverts for it, they made a big deal about this thumb strap, which was on a strap with a little nub that would fit under your thumb. Utterly useless. Utterly useless. But a couple of the early games for the DS, because it has such a long lifetime, if you look at early DS games and late DS games, it's like worlds apart. But I remember games like Pokemon Dash and Pokemon Ranger, which were just brutal on the screen. Like,
yes.
Spinning circles, spinning all like dash, 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 dash.
And it would leave, after a little while, scratch marks. Just a sort of faded plastic that had just been rubbed over and over and over and over. And the same patterns as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I looked after my other ones, at my initial DS, the bottom, the accuracy of the pointer, there's a gradient, and in the bottom left, it's hopeless. It, like, you've got your stylus in the bottom left corner, and the icon's like in the middle of the screen. Totally fucked. And there are a couple of things that I occasionally need to do with that DS, which I admit are very difficult. Another thing, when I think about the DS, and when I look at the wall of DS titles, as I am right now, it was kind of a bit more mature across the board compared to the Game Boy. So you imagine like Game Boy box arts, the box art of the Game Boy itself, where it's all like the arcade in your home, 80s colors. The DS brought in this like really nice kind of almost like, I want to call it like office core. they introduced the kind of white, so the white spines of the game, the boxes for the,
everything was very white. It was very, very clinical. Even the DS Lite was this sort of you would expect to see it in sort of like a science lab in a movie that's set in the future underground, where it's all very, very fluorescent lights and stuff. It was very, very white.
Yeah, and it would fit in, you know, nicely with next to your BlackBerry or your PDA. You know, it didn't look like a games console. It looked like something a bit more upmarket and professional. And one of the things that the DS did great was not just games, and many of the great gaming series had an iteration on it, but also kind of broadened, I don't know what you'd call, like kind of like lifestyle. So things like brain training.
Yeah.
All of those kind of games. And it took off massively in the kind of commercial world as well. So lots of companies invested in like DSs and training software. So there's a very famous kind of lost McDonald's training program.
Yeah, that was supposedly on the DS as a cartridge or DSiWare.
Yeah, there were museums in Japan and France where you'd pick up a DS from the front desk and that would act as your kind of guide to the museum. So it really, really kind of took off and broadened the appeal beyond what the Game Boy and the GBA which was, you know, here's a SNES in your hands or here's the arcade in your hands. It's just classier, I think, across the board. Like sleek, classy, stylus, like your pens and tablets at the time. Anything else to say about the car? Oh, also the shit that I completely forgot that it had, the dual cameras. That was a big, you know, taking photos was a big part of kind of the non-gaming software. There were like things like dictionaries, the sounds, there's like a sound system, PictoChat.
PictoChat. Yeah. Basically drawing dicks and sending them to other people who had DSs.
Basically, yeah. Things like an internet browser and an eShop.
Yeah.
A whole suite of things came out of the box. Playing games. What was your first DS game? Do you remember?
Let's just get this out of the way. I think because otherwise it's going to be the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So the game that I bought it for was the first Pokemon iteration, which was Diamond Pearl. That was the whole thing. And I think I got Pearl, you got Diamond.
Yep.
And that's essentially what I bought it for. I think that's why I waited for the Lite, because I don't think it came out on launch. I wasn't interested in the DS until it had a Pokemon game on it. I ended up just getting the DS Lite, and it was just with me all the time. But along with Diamond and Pearl, you had about four other iterations of Pokemon throughout the DS lifestyle.
In total there were 11 Pokemon games.
So you
the
get
main ones were Diamond, Pearl, Soul Silver, Heart Gold,
yep,
Black white, black 2, white 2.
Yeah, and platinum.
And platinum. And then in addition, we got Pokemon Dash, Pokemon...
Yeah, 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 all the other spin-off nonsense.
The first two Mystery Dungeons, which were very cool because one version was GBA, one version was DS. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't. The only one that was of any importance to ever play was Ranger, because that was the only way to get Manaphy.
Yes, and then the second one, I didn't realize this at the time, I probably would have bought it. It was the only way to get Deoxys as well, but it's some stupid unlock. So I think there are two sequels to Pokemon Ranger games, and in one of them, there were time limited, very hard 4-player missions. And if you did that, you could unlock Deoxys, which I didn't know about at all, but I knew about.
I remember Deoxys was I had to go to a game to go and get it, like as in the store, and get a ticket and get Deoxys.
Yeah, I don't think I got it.
Or no, in fact, I had to download it. That was the thing you had to do. You had to be near game, and they were firing out some Wi-Fi signal, and you downloaded Deoxys.
Back in the day, good old days. And then just to finish off, we also got Pokemon Conquest, which is an excellent game, and of course the Pokemon Typing Adventure, a number of mystery dungeons.
I mainly bought it for the Pokemon series, and I spent most of my time just always having my DS with the latest version of Pokemon in my pocket. That would literally be, right, I'm bored, I've got 5 minutes, even just 5 minutes, I'm going to do whatever obscene goddamn Eevee or shiny hunting thing that I was doing, which was taking massive amounts of time. And I would do it, and I would do it sort of hand in hand with whatever mobile device I had. I think I had a Windows phone at that time, and I was just keeping a tally of, like, you know, what were the EV values of this, or some kind of spreadsheet for, like, if I was breeding certain things to make certain things happen. That was it. And it was a very, very long, comforting time, and it even went on into, well, we're not going to talk about the 3DS, where we had, like, Sun and Moon and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, and backwards compatibility.
Yeah, except I lost my DS Lite, and I lost Black and White, which was in there at the time. It's a disaster. It's very heartbreaking. But I kind of feel like I'm back there. I think I lost a shiny Paras, which is sad, and a shiny Scyther. Oh, and the Sneasel. I had a pink Sneasel. Sad times.
I'm weirdly, so if you are a listener to the blog, you would have seen that one of the recent blog posts which went out is the Operation Last Boss Home. So I'm just finished with the GBA games, which I have been playing on the Nintendo DS, and I've just moved on to Diamond and Pearl. So I am also keeping tally sheets of Pokerous, macho braced meticulous EV training before they made things very easy. So it's all very fresh in the mind. That struggle.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like, it's so ridiculously easy. What I was spending time doing on a spreadsheet and spending long hours doing is now like a 10-minute, if that, job in the current iteration.
Yeah. It's great. You can catch a shine in the morning, and by mid-afternoon have it the proper nature, fully EV'd, with its egg moves, perfect.
Whereas
back in the day, you had to earn those things.
Yeah, you did.
And then I've had this recently where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go for this EV spread, and then you think you've done it, and then you go and talk to the lady in the market, and she's like, this Pokemon's not fully trained yet. I'm like, oh no.
Is it just the two that I've left over?
Is it the spare two? And then you give it a random two. And she said, no, it's still not done yet. I fucked up somewhere. And there was no way to see, especially if you're going for like a, you know, non-max stat. There was no way to see what you hadn't done.
So the only way to reset it was if you saved and then didn't save all the way through the EV training. But what masochist would do that to themselves, you know?
And then it's only five games and three console generations later you actually see. Still not a number, but at least a kind of arrow thing.
They just need to remove it. At this point, it doesn't.
Just give you a number. Just give us a number.
No, it's pointless. It's not necessary anymore for this baby season that we have, you know?
I don't know. Competitive Pokemon players will debate you on that with the, you know, the five different spreads.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it gives them something, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my first game, thanks for asking, was Nintendogs, Chihuahua and Friends.
I never got Nintendogs. I played someone else's Nintendogs and decided... Yeah. I don't need a Tomodachi, so I just didn't do anything with it.
It was around my way, it was a system seller.
So many people had it.
Look over your shoulder and see, oh, what are you doing there? And then, like, that evening, head straight out and pick up their copy of Nintendogs. I'll be honest with you, I've not logged into Nintendo. Oh, for those of you who don't know, Nintendogs was like... essentially a Tamagotchi, bordering on game. Richie would probably classify it as a non-game.
Yeah, it's a non-game.
We have an absolutely adorable little dogs in fairly realistic settings, and you have to feed them and clean them, and they'll bring you presents, and they have their favorite toys, and you kind of train them, and that's all it was. But it was so hugely successful. But they came out with a number of different...
Oh, yeah, it spawned a whole bunch, didn't it?
Yeah. Let's just try and have a look, see how many there are. Three, four, maybe? And you could, you know, if there's a particular breed of dogs, I think you could trade dogs with your friends. Dachshund and Friends, Lab and Friends, Chihuahua and Friends. Yeah, great. And that was it. Very gentle kind of game, but one of these titles, a bit like Brain Training as well, which converted a lot of people. So you do your daily brain training by doing a number of different tasks. It'll tell you what Dr. Kawashima's brain training. And it'll give you like a brain score, very successful. Brain Age Academy was kind of the other version as well.
Yeah.
Lots of...
I remember the Brain Age thing. That was a thing amongst friends who were just like, okay, what's your brain age now? Yeah.
And not very scientific, I think, but did really kick off this conversation around the benefits of game and gaming. And it was also at the height, in the UK anyway, of kind of the...
No, it was GTA, hot coffee, shenanigans. And,
but it was also this... academic attacks on games are actually bad for you. So this is an interesting time. But what I found really funny is that Nintendogs and Dr. Kawashima from Brain Training ended up as Smash Brothers assist trophies years after those came out. So years after they came out. So like 2005 was the Nintendogs. I can't remember when they got added as assist trophies, so yeah.
That's nice.
Legacy. A legacy beyond those initial games and the heyday of the Nintendo DS. And then one of my other early games was Mario Kart DS, which was a real gear change from what we'd had before, which was Mario Kart on the GBA, and all those wonderful features. You know, had online connectivity, Wi-Fi connectivity. Little device.
Yeah. But I guess I think most of my good times with it, I don't think I ever even utilized any of those other functions. I remember, was the people passing a 3DS or
Street Passes 3DS? Yeah.
Was it 3DS? Yeah. That's
because the puzzle pieces you collected were all in 3D. Remember?
Oh yeah, that's a shame. But yeah, like I always thought of it as quite standard functionality, and it was a Pokemon playing device. That's all it was. It was a Pokemon playing device, and all of the other games, which I'll mention in the next half, are me kidding myself on that it wasn't just a Pokemon playing device.
For me, as we'll see in the second half, it recreated a bit of the wonder of PlayStation in terms of diversity of titles, but you'll find out all about that, reader, after break time.
Yeah, let's call it break time. Da da dee da ba da ba.
Da da. Da.
Break time. There we go. Okay. So what do we do in break time, Farley?
In break time, remember that we didn't say a gimmick of the Nintendo DS was that many games had a subtitle which began with a D and an S at the top of the episode.
Oh, yeah. That was a good thing that we...
yeah, I've forgotten a couple of times now. That's why we're called DS. For example, Richie, Asphalt Urban GT Downshift.
Downshift.
And whilst I was looking for these, because there weren't that many games that decided to do it, somebody pointed out on the 3DS, which we're not talking about, that perhaps Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance. It's called Dream Drop Distance because it has three Ds.
Oh, that's kind of smart.
It is. And also, it's a really easy way to remember which console that stupid half game came out on.
Oh god, you know, I own the original Kingdom Hearts on Epic, and I want to play it again, but every so often I'm just reminded, in fact it's as I'm about to launch it, reminded that I'm playing version 1.9, and then I've got version 2.8 after, and I'm just like, oh fuck this numbering, I hate it so much, or whatever it is. It's just... Anyway, Kingdom Hearts, break time. Hey, happy times.
Happy times. So, break time. We ask each other one card, two questions from the ultimate question mark video game trivia, which I'm pretty sure is now out of print from your middle of the mall calendar. Which is a shame, because I think mini review time is quite good.
I don't hate it.
It's good diversity of questions, genres. Only a couple. I think we've had one or two which are factually incorrect. But
yeah,
then...
we've also questioned how old the questions are as well at certain times. And my first question will be able to kind of put a date on it as well.
Okay. Because it has titles which in my mind are recent.
Yeah.
7 years old. It has like Dark Souls and stuff on it. And Breath of the Wild, I think. It's probably the latest game.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll get this, but we shall see.
I'm going to nail it in one.
The setting of which game is Whispering Rock Psychic Summer Camp?
Whispering Rock Psychic Summer Camp.
I've got a clue if you need one.
I do need a clue.
It's one of those greatest game... frequently on the greatest games of all time lists, and neither you or I have touched it.
Oh, neither of us have.
No.
So it's not Undertale.
No, it's just routinely, yes, this is a great game. It did recently get a sequel, which I don't think was as good.
Is it Psychonauts?
It is Psychonauts!
There we go, nailed it in one.
Well done. You haven't played it, have you? Or unless it's one of these games you secretly play.
I own it.
Oh, have you? That means nothing. Have you installed it?
I haven't installed it. No, I haven't installed it.
Fine.
It's not locked and loaded.
Great.
Okay. And remember what I was saying? This is the telling question. Which 2021 two-player co-op game features characters Cody and May, a married couple, planning on divorce?
It Takes Two.
Correct. Nailed it. N1, no clue.
Fucking awesome game. If you're listening out there, you'll hear people say it's a really good game. And then I think I said this before on the podcast, the first 10 minutes does its hardest to make you not want to play that game. Push through those first 10 minutes. You do turn a corner and it's epic. Epic! Yeah. It is great. You should play it.
Okay. 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 Do you have a question for me?
I do. Not confident that you'll get it. Because it's very bespoke and very tricky. You might do. Using a pun referring to both the game's long-awaited status and the use of time travel in its plot, what is the full title of Crash Bandicoot 4?
Oh, God. Crash.
So you might be able to intuit it. So it uses a pun.
Yeah.
Referring to the long-awaited status, but there's also time travel within the game. So it's Crash Bandicoot 4, something relating to those two things.
Time is definitely one of the words.
It was waited for a long time. No. But there's time travel in the game. It's
okay.
Quite a clever pun.
Like, it'll be something like time to go back, or time back in time, back.
It's clever.
So, okay, no, I don't know.
So it's long awaited.
Yeah.
So if you're waiting for something and then it turns up, you might say something. But then also, the game.
Finally.
The game. What's another way of saying finally? But also, a way of saying finally, but also describing something which is on the topic of time. It's a multi-purpose phrase.
I don't know.
So you ordered a pizza.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah.
It turns up. You answer the door to the guy. You say, oh, sorry, your pizza turned up.
You what say, took you?
yeah, hold on. Crash Bandicoot 4, what took you?
Brilliant.
No, it's not. You say, yeah. The really angry.
Took your time.
Bit stronger than that.
Took your fucking time.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Crash Bandicoot 4 took your fucking time. Nailed it. Anyone?
What was it?
It's About Time.
It's About Time.
Get it?
Yeah, that's awful.
It's good, because it's about time, but also it was about time it turned out.
Yeah.
Very good.
And it was available from Blizzard, weirdly.
I used to love that series, and then it lost its way on the PlayStation 2, and I've been burned on it ever since, sadly.
I liked the first one, mainly because it was on the demo 1 CD.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all I remember is like collecting the masks, and you would get Haurumaga.
Yeah,
so good, and it was like an on rails. It's basically that coin runner game that's been repeatedly done a million times, except you can kind of move about and you're not collecting coins, but you play it over and over again so that you really know everything inside out. And but then there's hidden shit. It's really cool.
There's so much to do, but the brilliant thing about 1, 2, and 3, I got a lot of time for Crash Team Racing. Crash Bash is a fucking awesome party game. But the brilliant thing about it is you're running and you're dodging and you're falling in a pit or you're getting something smack into your head, is that it was quick. And the PlayStation 2 version was...
Oh, no.
Was like 5-minute loading screen every time you died. You kind of see Crash slowly falling through space.
That's awful.
Yeah, it just killed. Because, you know, you went back in. Okay, failed. Back in. Yeah. And that was the last time I ever touched that series, sadly.
Yeah, no, I remember is, like, you would have the initial levels where you were running through the jungle, mm-hmm. and it was quite cool. But then you had the horrible levels where you were running away from boulders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're running constantly towards the camera, and you're pretty much hating Crash for being in the way. So that you can't see. Yeah, yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
But it worked.
Fond memories, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Right. I will be incredibly impressed if you get this one. Okay? The Vive is a VR headset developed by Valve Corporation. And which electronics manufacturer? Primarily known for making Android smartphones.
I don't know, but my what do you call it? Knee-jerk memory is saying HTC.
Oh, boom, boom, boom! Nice, good work.
Just word association. I have no idea what it stands for. I have no idea what the Vive really is either, or HTC, but...
Well done. There you go.
I don't think I will know more about either of those, but I just put them together.
Yeah. Everybody did say the HTC Vibe. So,
yeah.
Or Vive, sorry.
Vive, yeah. So I didn't know what it was. Is that still going, dating this card game?
I know there is a Valve VR headset. I'm not interested. I don't really care about VR. I don't. It's very claustrophobic for me.
I enjoy it, but what they've done is they've made the same mistake as the vape companies. Is instead of there being like two products, like this one or this one, there are too many, all with stupid names, none of which seem to be compatible with each other. Very few have.
I think there is just two, actually. I think Oculus is the one that Valve has.
Yeah.
And then you've got Meta, which has the super cheap one. So Meta, basically...
But then what about Vive, PlayStation VR? What is the Xbox? What does Xbox do?
Oh, yeah, they've got the HoloLite, I think it is.
Yeah, see? Yeah. See?
But, see? Yeah, nobody cares about the consoles. That's just VR for the console. That doesn't matter. I would say that the compatibility... Yeah, so you've got... Basically, you've got... Each board. Platform has
board
something.
Already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Board already.
Yeah. Listen, like...
This is the problem with it. It's... What's the Vive? What's the Meta?
Well, they're for PCs. And everything else is for other consoles.
Is there stuff that's on Vive that's not on Meta?
I would say Meta has the most exclusive content. I think that's where Beat Saber and shit like that is.
No, Beat Saber's on everything.
Is it? Okay, then.
Well, I played it on the PlayStation. Who knows?
Who knows? In that case, I have no idea.
Who knows? And who cares? Although, there are some very cool games on there. It's just too expensive and too confusing.
I mean, I think Meta's under 100 or 200 quid, which is pretty cheap, but it's all subsidized because Meta.
Listen, Labo is where it's at.
Labo, the cardboard box thing.
Yeah, buy the cardboard box thing, put your super hot Switch 2 inches in front of your face. playing Mario.
Huff those Switch fumes.
Your hair starts to burn away as you're doing donuts around Baby Park. Yeah. Fine. Well, that's the end of break time.
Yeah, break time over. Back to...
reality.
Back to life. Okay, so let's talk about some of the other games that weren't Pokemon that we played.
So, I was a fan of, and I don't know if these games have a word that unites them both, but games like Another Code and Hotel Dusk, which were kind of
Another code is the Japanese series. It's based on a manga, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know it was based on a manga. There were two of them, and one of them's just coming out on Switch.
But yeah, there's another code. I think it's on Steam as well. In fact, there's a ton of games that are another code, I think.
With Ashley Robbins is your main protagonist, the white-haired lady.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm thinking of something else. Yeah, okay. Cool.
And Hotel Dusk. And I want to say there's another one. Which were these brilliant kind of visual novel detective-y type.
Yeah. Basically, they're just sort of like, they were cozy games before cozy games were named.
They were, but they made the most of the touchscreen. So you're pulling out a piece of paper, you're flipping, I think it's, is it Hotel Dusk or is it another code? Where you make a puzzle on the top screen, close it, open it again, and the puzzle is upside down the bottom screen with a code on it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very funky. That's very funky.
So there were loads of little bits like that. You know, once you played the game through, then don't touch it forever and then come back to it. That would make the most of the microphone, the touchscreen, to perform these little bits in amongst what was a very engaging story. People who perhaps ended up with the DS for your brain training, etc. Those are the kind of games which they graduated onto afterwards, and they were great and very hard to replicate. Some DS games we've seen updated, and it'd be interesting to see how they deal with another code.
Unless you have to play it with like a touchscreen, which would probably be a bit annoying if you were. Primarily under the TV player.
The only other game which I can think of which has that problem is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, the solution to which is not good at all. It's basically, you use the bottom screen for the... Do you remember the Poketech?
Yeah, the Poketech, different options, yeah.
So it had you could check your eggs and your berries and the time.
And it helped you, it had a counter as well to help you with your EV things.
With your EV training, the chaining together, the Versus Seeker, whatever that was called, Poker Radar, and checking your happiness levels. And so on the Switch version, that whole bottom screen kind of appears when you hit the shoulder button.
Okay.
Like in the top right. And it gets bigger, and you can shrink it again. So it's just, that's what they decided to do with the bottom touch. Not great, but
yeah,
at least it's there. I wonder what they did with another code. Let's come back on.
Maybe it'll be all sort of Joy-Con style puzzles.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, just change the way the puzzles work. Don't need to have a second screen. Just flip around how you use Joy-Cons and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
There we go. Solved the world. Another game that I did spend a lot of time on is Animal Crossing Wide World.
Yeah.
So it was my bedtime game. With Pokemon, depending on where I was with Pokemon and what I was doing, before I went to bed, I would sit and play Wide World and I would do my dailies, which would be to find out who the new visitor to the island was, go and get some beetles,
get your three fossils, get your money rock,
yeah that sort of stuff, that I had a routine that I enjoyed following. And I mean, if as the game goes, as a furry simulator, it's quite engaging considering you don't do anything really, but I think one of the most endearing things about it is the Mr. Rossetti as a character, just that whole, oh my god, you have to save the game, because you didn't save the game I'm going to be a dick to you and make you scroll through all of this text. Good stuff.
It is good stuff. And even though later games are arguably better, there was something about the DS and the portability that, you know, I did get the Wii one, but it didn't stick quite as hard. And then I didn't even get pick up the Switch version. I think my favorite one really was Wild World, because it would, you know, long train journey, long plane journey, you do your dailies and a bit of fruit picking, and then that's it. You know, that's a 7-hour journey.
Yeah, but or you would do something like create a new pattern.
Yeah. Really creative. Love that. And it was a marked improvement, because I did play it on the
GameCube.
Yeah. And that's really tough to go back to, because it was like scrolling screen. I don't know if you've ever played it again. So, you know, when you got to the left of your screen, you have to wait for the screen to scroll across.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, that's intense.
Yeah.
What? So, the only thing I remember about the GameCube Animal Crossing was you could load it up, you take out the disc, and you just leave it running. It was one of these ones where it was all loaded into memory, and you could just leave your GameCube on for weeks. Just yes. with that running.
Although I don't know, because one of the things they haven't brought back, I think, in the OG Animal Crossing, well, the first one we got in the West, I think there were two in Japan, is you could get NES games.
Oh, yeah. And you could play the NES games through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have like a little console in your room which you could play the NES. And then I think some of them are event exclusive and they were really hard to come by.
Yeah.
Which I don't think, you know, you had Nintendo themed furniture and all that business, but playing Donkey Kong Jr. 3, which was a maths, what was the Donkey Kong maths one? One of those. I didn't have any of the good games at the back.
Maths.
Yeah. It was like Donkey Kong maths in Animal Crossing. Some good times. A shout out, I mentioned it a number of times, but Advance Wars Dual Strike.
Yep.
It's probably my second most played game after the one of the Pokemon games, or whatever the latest Pokemon game was, Black and White. Great. I mean, the Game Boy Advance game was perfect, but yeah, that was it. I just loved playing that so much, and had some really tough times around the time the DS was out, and all of it went away. Main manufacturing mini tanks. I also downloaded it for the Wii U, and that's a perfect port as well, because the Wii U pad is your bottom screen and the rest is your top screen. Is it perfect? No, the DS version is better, but it's a good it's a good solution. Still haven't finished either. I think I finished the story. But the challenges and extra maps, yeah, insanely big. And is the Switch version of Advance Wars ever coming out?
You're asking the wrong person.
It already got cancelled because the Ukraine-Russia war, and then.
Oh yeah, of course. Just, we need to see where that goes. Yeah.
Series is never gonna. Apparently it's out.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Do I buy this game again, Richie? I have three unfinished versions of it.
You're cool.
It's huge, but I do like it. Shout out to Advance Wars. And then I had another game, which if you have the opportunity to play it. Have you played Ghost Trick?
No, but I know of it.
Do you own it?
No, I do not.
I mean, I know I've said this a lot, but that is a great game.
Okay.
Genuinely a great game. Is it from Capcom?
Yes, I feel like it is. Yeah.
Just a brilliant little game where you play as a detective who, spoilers, dies in the first seconds of the game.
And it's all very stylized. It's like black, white, and red, isn't it?
Yeah. It's, I think the charm of it is then after you die, you can possess various different items and make them do some stuff. But the combination of the DS, it's been ported to other things, I think. But on the DS, it really felt like you were looking into... Do you remember those Osborne, like, What's Inside books? Where it would show you, like, a...
Oil
tanker cut in half or something. It really felt like you had this, like, little doll's house inside your DS because you could see through the floors, and with the top screen and the bottom screen, you could kind of move up and move down as a bad guy was kind of coming to get... Brilliant, brilliant. And then a lot of lateral thinking involved about, okay, I can possess this. What do I do when I possess this? Okay, this shakes, shakes around a bit. Okay, how might that be useful? Really, really good game. And one from Papa Capcom. Papa Capcom, when they occasionally decide, hey, we're just going to do something completely different. And it worked.
Out the park, out the park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So do look it up. What else has it been ported to? iOS, Android, Switch, PlayStation 4, Windows, Xbox One. Do you have any of those?
Most of them, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Go. Here's a fun fact.
Go on.
It uses the RE engine.
Ah, okay.
Not in 2010, sure.
No, no, no. Well, maybe. And certainly not on the DS.
No. Anyway, Ghost Trick.
Okay.
If you're into detective games, fucking the DS was the best. Hotel Dusk, Ghost Trick, Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright, that's one of my ones, because I thoroughly enjoyed Phoenix Wright on the DS, but I think it was actually the 3DS I picked it up for. But either way, very, very, very good. Series of games, visual novels, as they should be done.
Yes. That is one where, in retirement, I'd quite like to play through all of those.
They're not long. They're just very, very engaging. So it's like, instead of reading a book, play Phoenix Wright. It's exactly the same sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's funny.
Yeah. It really is, and like, and of course, it's weird ass stuff as well. It's like you're never really gonna guess who done it because it's gonna be for some
solution
weird...
involves a dog and a ghost.
exactly that sort of shit.
But it's the color of the characters, which really, really makes that series spring to life.
Yeah. Anyway, Phoenix Wright was one of the other ones. Do you know what was terrible on the DS?
Oh, yes, but perhaps not the same thing you're thinking.
Guitar Hero On Tour.
Was that the one with the peripheral?
Yes. So you had four buttons. Normal Guitar Hero has five buttons. You have four buttons and you can strap it to your DS. Mm. And it has a clip to go around your hand so that you can air guitar on your DS. Mm. It was really bad.
Mm.
I did not enjoy that game.
Shame. Do you still have it?
Somewhere. It's probably in, you know, your obligatory box of wires that you're not sure if you throw away? It's probably in there.
Because that is firmly one of those things which, give it another decade or two, is going to be like a retro collector's item.
Oh, maybe I should destroy it just to preserve the future.
Did you know Nintendo released a guitar peripheral for the DS?
Yeah, and they brought out many versions of it. So they had, I think it was Guitar Hero On Tour, it was called. Because you could play it anywhere.
I get it, yeah.
But they had many, many versions. And I think there was also a Rock Band one as well. Yeah, so just kind of... I played one of them. I was excited. I think I pre-ordered that bad boy and got it. And I was like, oh, this is painful. Probably literally painful, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds painful. And one of those things which
probably would have worked much better on the touchscreen.
Yeah.
Just way, way better on the touchscreen.
What was your terrible game?
There were many. Perhaps the worst game I played on the DS was Top Trumps, Dogs and Dinosaurs.
The expectation level should have been a bit lower, Farley.
Of my attempt to play all the dinosaur games at the time. It is just... You know the game Top Trumps, Richie? The game of absolutely... There's, okay, a tiny amount of skill. Very heavily augmented by your familiarity with the cards.
Yes.
That game, but when there's like animations in between and you have to unlock cards, awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, awful. And I imagine the AI is cheaty as fuck.
Yeah. That was probably the worst one that I played. Whilst we were talking about Guitar Hero, Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah.
Was very good, although they didn't really have licensed tracks. Again, we've not seen that series for a long time. Since the DS. And then I had another shout out. Oh! New Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
Very good game. I know people are kind of burnt on the new Super Mario series now, because they should have left it in the past, but they keep bringing them out. But one of the best things about that was the mini games. I don't even remember those. I think it was one of those ones you could play where if one person had the cartridge,
the other person could someone join in and download or something like that. That was cool. Yeah, that was weird functionality. Yeah.
Three people could download the a traveling copy of it, if you like. But the games use the touchscreen to the... It was like a little testing pot of... Here's all the wonderful things that DS can do. So there was a snap pokery type game. There were one of the best games was one where you draw trampolines on the bottom screen to keep your Mario bouncing up.
Nice, yeah.
And when you would hit it, it would wear out, but you don't do three trampolines. That was super addictive. Another one where you had to find the... Kind of like Where's Wally, but with different faces. I can't remember what some of the other ones were. But yeah, so I think me and my siblings spent longer on those games than we did playing through New Super Mario Bros.
Brilliant.
Which is also a very, very good game. And the first one in that new series. We've got the gold one and then...
Yeah, Wonder. New Super Mario Brothers, 15 years later.
The Professor Layton games, have you ever played those?
No, but I know he was sort of like an almost westernized version of Phoenix Wright sort of thing. But was he Sherlock Holmesy? Was he set in a different time?
Yeah, he was more Sherlock Holmes.
But there was a crossover between those two.
There was, yeah. There was also an anime which I own, I think. Another detective game. But it was just different puzzles. Really clever puzzles. And that's how you kind of progress through. And if you couldn't do one, you can kind of back out. I think you could also play for hints, unraveling a story. But yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Mind bending. Lateral thinking puzzles.
I think the only one that I have up from my list that I sort of played that was along those lines was Phoenix Wright, actually. Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you play Resident Evil Deadly Silence?
I did, yeah. A lot.
Okay. Did I?
I don't know. I did. So when the DS came, this has triggered a core memory. When the DS came out and was so popular that gaming briefly had like visibility in the real world, and I was part of like a DS meetup group in London.
Okay.
Where we'd go to different pubs.
I remember this. Yeah.
I only went to a couple of them, but it was super fun. You'd go to like a pub, you'd meet a bunch of different guys, obviously.
couple of ladies.
Yeah.
And then because of these asymmetrical download things, you can play. So me and another guy co-opt Resident Evil Deadly Silence.
Nice. It's just a remake of Resident Evil 1, isn't it? But it's got a couple of other funky features in it.
Yeah, they introduced a few touchscreen microphone puzzles. I think, if I remember correctly, there was a remix mode you could choose as well, which slightly messed things up.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I played it a lot. So I've got like the rocket launcher and all modes and characters.
Quick turning, and your knife is no longer part of your inventory. You just have it as default.
Yes. When you go to... there's a grave? Do you remember there's a grave in the middle of the house? I don't remember whose it is.
A grave in the middle of the house? Hang on. Yeah. In the house or the outhouse?
In the house, in the main mansion.
And there's a grave?
Yeah, after you fight... Is it after or before you fight... what's the name of the snake? Yawn?
Yeah, but the snake's up in the attic. You can fight the snake in two places, actually.
Yes. And one of them, there's a grave, and you open it, and there's a ladder, and you go down to the snake, or you either fall down a hole from the snake.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was a touchscreen puzzle where you kind of have Chris's hand or Jill's hand, and then you use the stylus to do the knife trick from Aliens.
The knife trick from Aliens?
Yeah, very early on in Aliens, the crew of the, whatever it is, Nosferatu, no, the Saratoga. No, the other one.
Nostromo, not Nosferatu.
You know, Nosferatu, yeah. And it's not even, that's the first one. They force Bishop to do the knife thing. So he puts his hand over somebody else's hand.
Yeah.
And then he nicks himself. And that's how you find out he's an android. So there's that. You have to play that, but with the stylus between the fingers.
Oh, that's cool.
And then it unlocks the grave, rolls back, and you go down.
I wonder why I never got that. I definitely didn't play that. I have played Resident Evil in so many formats.
It's a good version.
Yeah. But
very good version. And I think there was some mercenary type speed running mode. But I can't remember.
Time has passed.
Time has passed.
Yeah.
Memories have faded.
Yeah.
I've got one more game to mention if you've got any others to mention.
I've got a couple more just to nod to.
Yeah.
One game that we both definitely played.
Yeah.
Was Final Fantasy 3.
Yes. In my mind, I put it down.
At the same place as I put it down.
I need to pick it up and finish it. Yes. Everyone said it was really good, and then they said, we're coming out with a remaster, and I thought, you know what? Now's the time. It looks great.
Yeah.
It has graphics which don't make me really bored, which the originals do. But yeah, just...
We played it and we thoroughly enjoyed it, but it was just a point in the game. It was just like, this is a lot. And like, everybody could be their other jobs, and you're just like, oh my god, I have 19 jobs now. And I've just got the Onion Knight as well. Oh god.
Yeah.
It became a bit unmanageable, and enough time passed that I'd forgotten where I was and what I could do, that when I turned it on, I turned it on a few times, I was just like, I can't even find where I am in a game.
I can tell you, yeah. I am outside a village. I go in the village. I've clearly talked to everybody.
Yeah.
I go out of the village and I don't know where to go.
For me, what happened was the greater wide world had opened up. So at different stages in the game, things get bigger, so you're in a little town.
Oh, yeah, you got the floating continent.
Then finally I got this floating ship, which was like the final thing, and then you have to go somewhere, but you have to go back to where you've been before, and I think it was something to do with one of the Muggles or something like that. And I can't remember, it's pointless. Yeah. But I thoroughly enjoyed Final Fantasy 3. Great. Man. Turn-based, great job system. Never gonna touch it.
Is it time for us to both restart Final Fantasy 3 at the same time?
I don't have a system to play it on.
Oh, no.
There was some other good Final Fantasies. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, Ring of Fates. And the other
one. Of course. You love the Crystal Chronicles.
Love those.
Yeah.
And then the tactical version of 12. Final Fantasy 12, Revenant Wings.
Yeah.
Really fucking tough. But good.
And Chrono Trigger as well. We can't go an episode without talking about Chrono Trigger, but
yeah,
it existed. Nice. It was a really good version. Nice.
And that's one of the things I remember about the DS, is all these games and ports were kind of the good versions of them.
Sorry, one last one that I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
It was a game called Big Bang Mini. I don't know if you remember this. So this was really, really cool. The concept behind it was the bottom... Stop talking over me. the bottom screen, you would flick fireworks up.
Yeah.
And then the top half of the screen, you'd be like hitting enemies and hitting balloons and bonuses. And it was just fun. It was almost cozy. But basically, you're just flicking fireworks up. And the angle at which you hit them, you know where to hit certain things as it's coming through. Very, very replayable, very good fun. It reminds me, it's in the same kind of vein as Boom Blocks.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And each level was progression. But we definitely talked about it before. And I think I even did a review.
That guy just rings a bell, so you might want them.
Yeah. But I would say, yeah, it was a fun game. Yeah.
Last game I'm going to mention is Project Rub, aka Feel the Magic.
Well, we have to make a little nod to it, of course.
Yeah. Very quirky Sega game where using the touchscreen you have to play a series of increasingly mental games in this guy's struggle to woo a sexy silhouette bikini lady. And it was fucking brilliant. Still is. God, this whole episode I've just been like, I should just crack out with DS and play all these games again. Log in to see my emaciated Nintendogs.
Oh god.
Yeah. It's been 18 years. all your dogs have run away and social services and RSPCA are waiting to talk to you.
Just a little skeleton.
Yeah. With a dog collar on it.
It's cuddling a little picture of you.
Just a pile of dust with a dog collar on it with a little bone.
Oh, sad times.
Sorry, buddy.
Right. Okay. Anything more we want to talk about with the DS?
No, but just this nostalgia trip has filled me with joy. There was a lot of bangers on that system.
There really was. And the fact was, it was like, it wasn't even like graphically amazing. It was just good, and it was tiny, and it was there. Yeah. I used to, like you say, executive style. I think I had the white DS,
yeah,
and then I traded up to the black 3DS.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the black one? It was sort of black and half grey, and
it looked
cool.
Yeah.
And then of course I traded that up to another 3DS model. Was it more than one? Which had the Pikachu on it.
Yeah, there was. Do you remember that? There was like the one with the little thumb nub.
Oh yeah.
Because earlier versions you had to get like a fucking left half of the console to stick on.
Oh my god. Mental.
Yeah.
How did that console succeed?
I don't know. And it was off to a rocky start. All of them were as well, like, you know, DS, and then for a while after the DS there was DSi.
Yeah.
They didn't really release much for DSi because the DS had such a huge install base. Then 3DS, then 2DS. What the fuck was that about?
The wedge.
Yeah, the wedge. The wedge of cheese. Right, Twitchy.
Yep. That guy's a maniac.
Why did you bite me? with a touchscreen.